And I'm going to stay out of the way mostly for this one. When we started making a list of the people who had stories to tell that would give God glory and that would return thanks for great and wonderful things that God has done, James and Lorna were at the top of that list, and I've just asked them to tell us why that is.
August 29th, 5 weeks ago today, we were up in Lake of Bays enjoying a beautiful day. It was sunny, hot, winds were moderate, and we had launched in at Baysville and had done several things. We had gone over to Dorset and had ice cream. If you ever boat with my wife, you have to go for ice cream. And we were heading back towards Baysville, and we were purposing to go and do some water skiing in a quiet bay. Norm and Carly York were with us on their Sea-Doos, along with their children and a friend of Josh's. Alex was also in our boat, so Lorna, Alex, and myself were in our boat. On the way to Baysville, a unattentive boater who had been following us for a little while and was traveling at a much greater speed than we were, and we were starting to slow down because we were approaching Norm, ran into the back of us. His boat sailed right up and over our boat. I want to explain this to you because you need to see the miracle. As his boat was launched up over ours, the shape of a boat would cause it to ride up, of course. He had to go 21 feet across our boat. Anybody who knows anything about boats knows that the bulk of the weight of a boat is in the back, in the stern of the boat. So that would cause that back to sink. And really, that should have crushed us all. While he was gaining, had gained much more speed, the moment that that boat touched ours, he's losing momentum. And that boat should have sunk and crushed all of us. Norm will testify, as he said later to us, that that boat, as it launched up over ours, the back end of the boat actually rode up. Keep in mind, too, that at the, below a boat is about 20 inches of an outdrive, which contains a prop. Another 20 inches has to be raised. Norm said that that boat went up over our boat, and that stern actually raised up. It went over this way. That defies the laws of gravity. It defies all explanation. Norm said it was as if an angel or angels lifted that boat. I believe with all my heart that we can take away the words "as if." Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Then he goes on to say, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That day, I believe with all my heart, that angels came and actually raised that boat up over us. Neither Lorna or Alex, who were sitting in the bow of the boat, again, in a place that they should have been crushed, were even touched, not a mark on her face. I was the only one who sustained a little bit of injury. Also, in Hebrews 1:14, the writer reminds us, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? God's work is alive and well. He will even send his heavenly host, his heavenly agents, to protect us, and he did that day. That's just the first miracle.
The second miracle that day was the response time of the police. After the accident happened and we realized James was badly hurt, I got on the phone to call 911, which is not an easy thing to do when you're on the water. I was having a difficult time explaining to them where Baysville was, so Carla took over for me. Then about 5 minutes later, we saw a boat coming from the direction of Baysville Marina, and we were pretty sure it was a police boat. We waved them over, and it was in fact the police. They said that their shift was basically over, but they just decided that they would take one more tour of the lake before calling it a day. I know that God was definitely in control of that decision. They were there within 10 minutes from when the accident first happened, and they very capably took over the situation. We had in our minds that we had to get back to Baysville Marina, where we launched the boat earlier that day. But they had us go straight over to a cottage on the shore and called an ambulance from there, which made a lot more sense. It took them about an hour to get James out of the boat. And during this time of waiting, which is always the worst part, Carla prayed, and I truly did feel God's presence with us. Even during this anxious time, I did feel a calm and a peace, which I know was God. And from this close call, I learned many things, but primarily that we serve a powerful God who is in control of our lives. And as Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could even ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. We just have to trust him and let him be in control. I remember, too, the first Saturday after the accident and James was home. I was outside walking the dog, and I was feeling a little overwhelmed with all that had happened, and I was wondering about James' complete recovery, and I saw this perfectly formed rainbow. And I knew then that that was God once again reminding me that he would give us the strength we needed. We just needed to trust him for that. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. The situation also provided with me so many opportunities to be a witness for him. I've had difficulties in the past of starting up conversations about the Lord, and I've even been praying about that, and this has certainly opened up that door. So you may want to be careful what you pray about. It's also been a reminder that life here on earth really is brief, and what we do for God is all that really matters. God isn't finished with us yet, especially James, for which I am both very thankful and excited to see what he has in store. I also just want to take this time to thank our church family for all your gifts, cards, food, visits, and most of all for your prayers. We love you all and thank God for each one of you.
We want to give God the glory and the praise. And I just want to tell you one little interesting story, which I think is kind of cute, but I think we need to share this because we need to all be thankful. On Sunday night after I was taken to CCU, sometime late in the evening, a lady came in. I'm not sure if it's a nurse or somebody from a missions office, came in and had to ask me a few more questions to complete the form. And her final question was, would you like to see a clergyman? I said, well, I've already seen one. My pastor met us in Emerge. Oh, okay. I said, and if I was to guess, there's probably another one on the way. To which she said, I guess you don't need to see a clergyman, do you? I said, no, I'll be well looked after. And sure enough, Monday morning, in comes June and Bill, and they read Psalm 91 to me and prayed with me. And I just appreciate that so much. We are so blessed to have a pastoral staff, all of them, who care for us and care about us. So we need to be thankful for that. Let me just lead in prayer as we give God praise. Father, we just lift up your name this morning. I find that words are just almost inadequate to express how we feel towards you. To think that you would see fit to send your heavenly hosts down to protect us and to deliver us is overwhelming, and I can't think of words to express it except to say thank you. Lord, I know that you have something in store for us, for Lorna, for Alex, and myself. How I pray, Lord, that we would be found faithful to you and to carry out the work that you've called us to, and all the days that you've given to us or will give to us to finish the task. Lord, I pray that we will be diligent and we will be faithful to you. Lord, I thank you for my church family who are before me this morning. Thank you for each one of them. We are so blessed to be part of this tribe, and we give you thanks. And Lord, for our pastors, we just give you thanks and praise for them. They love us, they care for us so much, and you have blessed us so wonderfully. So we want to give you praise for that this morning. God, you are so good, and we want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due your name. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, James and Lauren. At this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Mike to join with me at the front while the worship team gathers. And I know that there is a committed core of 20 to 30 people who are very familiar with what goes on down at the Array Life Center. Many of you help out with the food. Some of you help out with children's ministry, I know. And some of you help out with the Friday Family Circle ministry. But then the rest of us really don't know what goes on down there. And I wanted to give Mike about 5 minutes to just get us up to speed on some of the phenomenal things that are happening downtown. Pastor Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, first of all, for those of you who may not know, Pastor Paul is the Baptist and I'm the Pentecostal. not that that means anything. Not anymore, that's for sure. Let me just share with you real quick about a man by the name of Alex, because this is going to say a lot as to what's happening downtown. About a few months ago, this older gentleman moved to Aurelia from out west, and somebody had told him that at the Aurelia Life Center he could go and get some free clothes, which he needed. So he came up to our church, and the volunteer who was there that day happened to mention to Alex that, by the way, we serve lunch on Sundays free of charge, and then after the lunch there's a church service that goes on as well. And Alex said to her very clearly, well, I'll come to the lunch, but I ain't coming to no church, right? And so anyways, to make a long story short, last month, Alex is one of five people that we baptized down at Lake Coochiching. So that tells you a lot what's going on down there. So. So as Lorna said, be careful what you say, right? let me just tell you real quickly, some of you know, and some of you perhaps don't know, but 5 years ago, this month as a matter of fact, God called my wife Julie and I and my son Matt and his wife Cindy to Aurelia, and year one basically was to start a church. So we started the Aurelia Life Center. We started in the Moose Lodge. We rented a hall there for $50 a month. That was the early beginnings of the whole thing. And year two, God called us to open up a clothes room, which we did, and we've been doing that for the last 4 years. And then year three, God called us to move downtown, and we found a downtown location. And, you know, all of a sudden, things just started really changing at that point because of a whole different group of people that we were ministering to then. And then year four, God called us to open up a coffee house to be able to reach the people of downtown, so we've done that for 2 years. It has now evolved into the Oasis, which we started about a month ago, still a coffee house. And then year five, God brought our church together with this church to begin a partnership. And part of that partnership involves feeding a whole lot of people on Sunday, which is being provided for you. In fact, even as I speak, there's probably people downstairs that are getting that lunch ready to ship over to OLC. And then a team from your church will join a team from our church, and together they will serve approximately 70 people. And we've been doing this for almost a year, ever since last January. And in fact, last Sunday, we had more folks come up than we've ever had. We've had actually, you know, there hasn't even been enough seatings to be able to accommodate everybody. However, we are getting takeout. So there's some folks who are downstairs outside who are not able to come up because we're up on the second level, and they happen to be in wheelchairs. We're not able to accommodate them. So we actually take meals out to them on the streets. What we're doing is very much a part of what we are doing together as a partnership. I don't know if maybe some of you don't even realize that, but I just want to thank you so much for making that possible. It's a wonderful thing to see these people coming up without any strings attached. No strings attached at all. Just come on up, and we want to feed you. And we get all kinds of people. We get single moms. We get families with their children who perhaps are unemployed and they got to make their ends meet. So we have a whole lot of different scenarios that take place each and every Sunday. But one thing I'm so thankful for is that out of the people who are coming up, many leave, they eat and they leave, but also we are seeing a lot who stay for the service. We've been noticing more and more each and every week different faces in the service, and we ask everybody at the beginning of the service, if you're here for the very first time, just put your hand up, and almost every week we get, you know, a number of hands that go up. So we're able to minister to these people. You know, it's, you know, you can't force people To come into a service. You can't force the gospel on them, but you can show the love of Jesus Christ to them, and that's what we've been doing ever since January. And as a result, we are developing relationships now. They're able to trust us. They know that we're not trying to coerce them. We're not trying to pressure them. You know, we're not trying to get more converts for the church. That's not it at all, friends. It's simply feeding them, showing them such a simple way of love without any strings attached. Last week, let me just give you one example, because there's several that I could mention to you today. But let me just give you one example. Last Sunday, we gave an altar call, and we had probably about 15 people who came up to the front. As I was praying with the people there, one of them happened to tell me it was a couple, a husband and a wife. They were in their mid-years. And they wanted prayer because their marriage was on the rocks. They were separated, and they wanted healing for their marriage. And we were able to pray for that precious couple right there and then, and to be able to just assure them, you know, that God loved them, and to see this love being rekindled again. And then another woman who came up to the front had a life of total abuse and just a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, you know, a lot of rejection. We have so many people that have those issues naturally because, you know, we're in a downtown location, so it's more concentrated there than it would be in other places. So those are the kind of lives that we are dealing with. They're people that Jesus died for, just as he died for the prosperous, well-to-do businessman and everybody else. We all need Jesus Christ. We're able to minister to these people, and we are seeing many, many, many coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's basically a glimpse of what's taking place downtown in Orillia. Thanks to your support, thanks to your prayers, thanks to your involvement, thanks to your help by actually coming and by lending a hand to be able to set up and to serve and to clean up. We could not be doing what we are doing downtown but for the First Baptist Church. And so we thank God, and that's pretty well it in a nutshell. God bless you.
Well, Susan is going to join me at the front, and she's got a story to share that the Lord has been teaching her, and she's written some things down in her prayer journal. God's been doing some cool things in your life. Why don't you tell us what's been going on?
Great. Thanks, Jody. Okay. A few Monday mornings ago, I was in my prayer time with the Lord, and all of a sudden I had these thoughts come through my mind, and I'm like, where did those come from? It was thoughts that I hadn't been thinking for over 2 years. And the thought was, being a single mom and everything, how can the father of my children think that it's okay and that he believes that it's okay that he does not emotionally or financially support the children? So it was at that time that I started to wrestle with the Lord in my prayers. So I'm just going to read some information out of my journal. So I just asked the Lord, why do the wicked prosper? And I heard the Lord say to me, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And that's right out of Psalm 44. But of course, myself, I'm like, oh, but Lord, you know, I do trust in you, but, you know, that doesn't help with mitts and outerwear and boots and all these things that as growing children require. Then the Lord, I was starting to get a little anxious and angry. And of course, then I heard the Lord say to me, he said, do not sin in your anger. Well, at that time, I'm wrestling with him, and the Lord led me to Scripture, and it was Matthew 30:34, which says, O you of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day even has its own trouble. Well, right then I thought, oh my goodness, it's one thing to have little faith, but another thing to be called a pagan. I certainly didn't want that. So then I heard the word of the Lord speak to me again, and he was speaking from Philippians 4:6, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. So it was right then and there that I knew that I had to repent, confess of my sins, and I had to come into his presence in the with the right attitude. And I believe in the Word of God, so I had enough holy slaps, so I thought I best get on my knees with the right attitude, get over my pity party, and that is exactly what I did, is I confessed in front of the Lord, let your will be done, I surrender to you, God. Well, then I came into work the next morning, and I saw this envelope on my desk, and I thought, oh, great, hate mail, as if I didn't have enough rebuking this morning in my prayer life. So I opened it up, and this is actually the letter that was there, and I'll just read it to you, and it said, Susan, this is for you and your family, a gift to bless you. And then there's a scripture quoted, 1 Chronicles 16:34. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Well, right then and there, I just knew that, God is there to make our paths straight. I do have great faith in the Lord, and I trust in his word. So as Pastor Paul was saying, how obedience leads to blessings, prosperity, but it could have gone the opposite way. It could have led down into judgment and all that for me, but it obviously went up, and I humbled myself before the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And God did provide for Susan, and he will provide for us. He promises to be faithful. So if you're in a place today where you need God to provide for you, just realize that God will do that for you. Annetta Robinson's going to come, and Annetta, come and share your story with us. This is Annetta. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I'm nervous. I'm not usually nervous. I got stuff written down, but I don't have my glasses.
All right. I will. Okay, well, I'll just take that.
I got a passage from the Bible that I need you to read for me.
All right, I can do that.
I'm shaking and everything because I prayed to God that he would speak through me, not me, and that makes me uncomfortable. I never know what's going to come out. I have had some difficult times, to say the least, and I'm one of those kind of girls that, you know, is show me the money, you know, like I need to see things, I need proof, and I need it pretty quick, and I believe that God understands that because he knows exactly what I'm all about, as did Paul Carter when I walked in his office for the first time and he told me who I was. And I thought, wow, he's supposed to be a pastor, aren't they supposed to be kind and loving and gracious? Yeah, I thought, where am I? And get out of my head. So as I went along my Christian journey, I used to always ask God for help because that was what I was told to do. Just get up in the morning and ask for help and guidance and just give thanks at night, you know, because I didn't know how to pray. I used to start praying and think about everything else and forget about God. And I used to think, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to be a Christian. And as I went through my trials and tribulations, I went through some really difficult times, times where there was no money for food, no money to pay for my mortgage, no money for a simple yearbook for my daughter on her graduation. I was unemployed. That's Ashley. Trying to bring her out of her shell a little bit. I would just pray and say, you know, I trust in you, God. I believe in you. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that you're going to make something happen. And each and every time, those needs were met. I have been blessed with, I call them my spiritual board of directors, which is I have five individuals that I go to that keep me and hold me accountable and responsible for the Christian that I want to be and I strive to be. I try to walk with God every day and give glory to him and honor him every day. I last week had a extremely difficult week, and it came out of the blue. I didn't understand what was going on, and again, I asked God to show me, and he does. So I need to back that up, some of that now. See, I don't have my notes. I was unemployed. Actually, I was working at the time, and I had met a gentleman for a coffee to talk about stuff, and he was from the church, and it was a Christian conversation we were having, and he had mentioned something like, why aren't you working for yourself? And I said, well, you know, I've had my hand in different things, but the business that I was in before is really cutthroat business, and I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to McMaster University, and I'd like to be an addictions counselor because I'm a recovering alcoholic addict as well. And so I'm trying to get that, and I just want to give back. I don't want to make a lot of money. I just want to help people. And he said, oh. So a couple of weeks had gone by, and I found myself out of work, and I had spoken to this gentleman and said that I didn't tell him that I was out of work, but I said, you know, what you had mentioned, I want to make a proposal. And so I did, and I thought, I'm just going to put a business proposal together just for the experience of it, thinking that there's no way this is going to happen because, oh, let me just back up. 3 weeks prior to that, I had gone bankrupt. So I claimed personal bankruptcy. So here I am, broke. I have no credit. I mean, I can't even get a credit card, never mind somebody that's going to say, go ahead, run a business. But I thought it would be an interesting exercise, so I did it. At the time that I was praying to God, asking if this is what I need to be doing and how can I minister, you know, have a little ministry. And I know that people think of that all the time, and I'm not one of those kind of people that think about ministering people, like, ever. Like, I'm all about me. And now I'm thinking about other people, which is phenomenal. I don't curse, even more phenomenal. And at the same time, this couple were praying that they could somehow create a kingdom of company type of company, kingdom of Christ company, and I was praying for a ministry of some sort. So it was just pretty crazy how it kind of came together. So when I was talking to this couple, we decided that if I had put my staffing business. What do they call that? You know, all that experience and stuff. And then also had that addiction, you know, there if necessary, along with my my faith that I would be a perfect candidate for Kingdom of Christ business. And I thought, how cool would that be? And then, of course, you doubt yourself and the enemy comes in. And so there was lots of struggles with that and lots of struggles with that getting going. There was just an overwhelming amount of support from phenomenal people from this church whom I couldn't possibly thank enough, this whole church, even Paul. So here I have this couple that don't even know me, and the only reference they have about me is from God himself, you know, and they were praying, like, is this the right thing to do? Is Annetta going to be able to do it? And it was actually the biggest compliment that I've ever had in my life, that somebody would believe that I could do something so worthy and give me, you know, thousands of dollars to that they could lose like that, that I can never pay back because I just have a bank card with about 43 cents in it. And it was just such a compliment that there was no strings attached. There was no ulterior motives. There was nothing except for guidance and love and prayer. So as I said, last week was a difficult week, and I was praying, and I said to God, you know, again, I don't really understand what this is about, but if you could just, I need you to show me a sign of some kind that I am doing the right thing. I'm going in the right direction. I'm being obedient, and I'm doing your will, not my will. Because if I do my will, then Sunshine Staffing, spelled S-O-N for in the name of the sun, will not be what I need it to be, which is to help the city of Orillia and folks get a job and find employment and have somewhere to go where they can be encouraged to grow themselves. And also to walk in the door and I can just, you know, tell them a little bit about me, a little bit, and then ask them to do the same thing, which is, you know, pray in the morning and give thanks at night. So I asked for a sign. As I'm driving to work, to the office, back to the office, I walk into the office and the phone's already busy on another line, and then I walk down to my office and the phone starts ringing and I pick it up, and it's my first customer that I have not spoken to, that I never introduced myself to, that I walked right past their door while doing cold calls because I thought it was just a retail store, and he called and said, I need a driver and I think that you can help me. And I thought, oh, and it was Desco Plumbing, and I said, how did you hear about us? And the guy says to me, funny thing, I was driving by Front Street, and I just seen your phone number. And I, for some reason, it stuck in my head, and my boss said, so-and-so called in, and they won't be into work for the following week, so what are we going to do? We need to scramble around. And he said, oh, 259-1420. I'm going to call them. I saw a sign. And he called as soon as I got in. Now, the really neat thing is that there was an individual that had come in, and he was having a difficult time with his family and his life and his wife and kids and moving, and he was out of work. And I asked him if he ever prayed. And he said, no, and now you're starting to sound like my mom. And I said, he goes, that's a good thing. I listen to my mom. So I said, it's simple. Just ask for guidance and help in the morning and give thanks at night and see what happens. At the same time I got the order, the young fellow walked in a little while later, and I said, how's the praying going for you? He goes, you know what? Good. I got an apartment. Things are going good. He said, I just said to God last night, all I need now is a job or a paycheck or a couple of things to happen, and, you know, I'll be good to go. And wasn't he the perfect candidate for that job? So he is employed as of Monday. So it was kind of just God saying to me, you know, confirming that, yes, you were going in the right direction. You are doing what I need you to do. And I'm strategically planted downtown Orillia so that, you know, I'm close to the methadone clinic and a few glorious crack houses around, and that's just the way we like it. Anybody that walks by that's seen sunshine on top and smiling faces inside will come in, and with just hopes that we can introduce them to the Lord and possibly get them work. And I guess to sum it all up, I'm just going to ask Jody to do...
Jeremiah 29:11, is that right?
Are you a mind reader? Oh, yes, there it is. Was this rehearsed?
I did my homework.
So this sums it up for me. Sorry.
All right, so we'll read Jeremiah 29:11-13. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Amen.
I've been found.
Amen. Pastor Mike, why don't you come up, and we will give thanks to the Lord for the offering this morning. We'll worship him with our givings now as we've been speaking and singing and reading the word and praying about God's goodness. And let's honor him in this way.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we do bless you this morning, Lord. We just rejoice to hear all of these testimonies. And Father, to know, Lord, that you care about each and every one. And Lord, that you want to do mighty things to those who would call upon your name. And Father, we do rejoice, Lord, in the great things that you're doing right here in this particular family, this tribe. God, we thank you for the, Lord, the addition of our new youth pastor, Lord. Father, we thank you for John and for Nicole and for their family. We thank you, God, for a safe trip many, many miles out. Lord, we thank you, God, that, Father, this is just a new day, praise the Lord. And God, that together we are expecting great and mighty things that we do not know. And so, Father, we are trusting you, Lord, in every situation. Lord, our faith has been built up by what we have heard and seen this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for miracles. We thank you for provision. We thank you, God, for your great love, your mercy, your forgiveness in our lives. Lord, there's not one person here today, Lord, that would have to say the Lord doesn't care for me, or that what God has done in their lives, he won't do in my life. Father, we thank you, Lord, that's God, that you are a God who loves to show your power and your faithfulness, Lord, to those who will just simply put their trust in you. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to do that here in this house. Father, we thank you that, God, you've been faithful to not only provide for every need financially, but, Lord, to over-provide, to oversupply, so that this church, Lord, can be an overflow church in the city of Orillia and around the world. And, Father, we pray, God, today, Lord, that as we put our trust in God, that you will simply, Lord, open up the windows of heaven over us. And, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you will so faithfully be there in every situation. Lord, where some are in need of healing, some are in need of, Lord, relationships to be restored, some, Father, are in need in financial need. Lord, whatever it may be, O God, employment, Lord, peace of mind, the joy of the Lord, God's salvation, whatever the need is this morning, our God shall supply that need according to your riches and glory. Through Jesus Christ we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you.
Yeah, we have a baptism service coming up on October 17th. And as part of that, because baptism is about welcoming new people into the family, we're doing kind of a tribal council, which is a, you know, little opportunity for us to talk. We're not voting anyone off the island, although that could be added. But it's just an opportunity to talk a little bit about our tribe. If you're relatively new and if you haven't been here before and you don't know what's up with this church, it's a little bit of orientation, and we'll do that on October 17th. One of the things we're going to say on October 17th is we have a plan in our services, but we're not slaves to the plan. Generally speaking, we try to run our services from 10 till 11:30. But we're not slaves to the plan. Don't stick anything in the crock pot on the assumption that you're going to be home at 11:45. Because, you know, heaven forbid the Holy Spirit shows up in a powerful way and half the church leaves because they got a turkey in the crock pot. Okay? So we sort of say, plan on some margins. Because from time to time, we're going to take a little extra time. We do that always the first of the month when we do communion. It's a special time for us to share together. It's going to go 15 minutes late. Today is a special day. We're stopping. We have been on a train ride of blessing for years now. And we're going to stop, and we're going to give some glory to God, and we're going to give some thanks. And if the worst thing that happens today is your turkey burns, well, you'll survive, okay? And you know, you could always stay for lunch here, too. That's the other thing. So it's okay. We want to give an opportunity today to some people to share in popcorn fashion. Okay, we used to use a term when I was a youth pastor, called popcorn prayer. Basically, it means it's like a sentence or two or three. So this is not your doctoral dissertation. This is not the story of how your life has changed since you were four. This is, you know, yesterday I didn't have any money for rent and God provided. Praise the Lord. Or I've been praying for my wife to come to Christ for 6 years. 2 weeks ago, she came to Christ. It's those kinds of things. We just want to hear, what's God doing out there in your life? And I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to help me. And he's going to work this side with a microphone, and I've got this side, so you don't have to speak into my mic here. All right, let's have two or three people tell us, popcorn fashion, what's God doing? Yeah. There you go. It's on, yep.
Does it have to be popcorn?
It's not about popcorn, but yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. It's neat that you've been preaching on generational faith, because in our family we've been experiencing that for the last couple weeks. We've been preparing for a celebration of my parents' 50th anniversary. And what an opportunity to give glory to God for the faithfulness of two people who shared the gospel, passed on their faith to their children, us to our children's children, and we were able to celebrate that last night, and God was glorified. There's family there that weren't Christians, and the gospel was preached. So the blessing to my parents would be that word of God, the seed that has been planted, would take root, and there would be much fruit.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Anyone else in here thankful for parents or grandparents who faithfully live faith and then pass it on? Let's add our appreciation to that as well. Amen. All right, anyone else want to give glory to God this morning?
Right here.
All right.
I'm a teacher, and I've been applying for lots and lots of jobs and haven't received anything. I've been supply teaching, and last Friday a principal called and asked if I wanted a job, and I have a job until the end of November, so
Amen.
I'm thankful for that.
All right. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? These are good and short. Yep. Okay, right here. That's on your side, Mike. Come on. Right here, Joe.
I'm a new driver, and I'm young. And the other day, coming home from Barrie, I was in the car, Julianne, and it was the weirdest thing, but
you're going to have to gesture with your other hand. Hold the mic, and there you go. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, I guess I don't even know, but I ended up falling asleep at the wheel. It was the weirdest experience of my life. And we veered off, and we went into the guardrail, and I don't know, I just want to thank the Lord for having Julianne in the car and for waking me up and just making sure that none of us, like neither of us, got injured in it, and like the car is barely injured, like the car is just a little scratch, and like I just want to thank Lord for getting us both out alive and
Amen.
Safe. And
thanks, Joe. Alright. Alright, if you can do it in two sentences, we got time for one more. We got time for a two sentence. Here we go. Corinne.
I just want to thank God for all the changes He's made in my life and the lives of all of my family members.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to invite Jonathan to join me up here, and we're going to just have a chance to hear from him. For those of you who don't know, you will shortly. We are having a lunch after the service, so when the service is concluded, everybody is welcome to join us downstairs. And it's kind of a new staff fellowship lunch. We're going to have the opportunity to have our new youth pastor, Pastor Jonathan, introduce his wife and their four kids. I like people with four kids, you know? Follow me as I follow Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Jody, good work, by the way. Also, we are introducing... this will make sense in just a minute. We're also having the chance to formally fellowship and welcome Jody and Alex. They came during the summer, and some of you were not here to enjoy them. And so you're going to have a chance to have Jody introduce his wife and four kids. You